Let's log on to the internet, shall we? It's brought to you by Geico. You got a choice of ways that you can save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online at geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest you. Let's get it.
Number five.
Will Zalatoris has been the runner-up at the Masters. He lost in the playoff in the PGA Championship to Justin Thomas. He's been in the top 10 9 times this season, Joe, on the PGA Tour. Finally, though, he has his first tour victory. He won the FedEx Open, St. Jude Classic, this Sunday in a playoff over Sepp Straka. You would have enjoyed the final playoff hole. It was a par three. His tee shot went past the green onto a rock wall, bounced, didn't go in the water, though.
Yeah.
Bounced and lodged between the rocks and the cut of grass. And he went over to the ball, looked at it, was really trying to play this shot. And I'm going, please go drop the ball. Please go drop the ball. Please go to the drop zone and drop the ball. Like, I'm talking to the TV, even though I have no money on this at all.
Yeah.
And finally, his new caddy, hired last week in Greensboro, talks him into going over to the drop zone. They walk back. I think it was 95 yards. He hit it 93 yards. Just a perfect shot. Makes the bogey putt to win his first PGA Tour win. And it was one of those moments, too, where you're like, you felt actually good for somebody. Because he's had so many close calls it's like, are you ever going to break through? And he is the best ball striker in the world. And putting has been his issue. He made a clutch putt on the final hole on Sunday of regulation, if you will. And then in the playoff comes through again with the big putt. So he's now number one in the FedEx Cup standings, which will put him in. He won $2.7 million yesterday.
Which is nice.
Puts him in a position to win 10 if you are the winner at the end of the playoff, which is 2 weeks in Atlanta.
Next up.
Number four.
It's time to revisit our friend Courtney Bangert. She is the UNC women's basketball coach. You'll remember this past season, she got into, got the rivalry fires going with NC State when she complained about Reynolds, their quote-unquote, NC State's quote-unquote small gym, right? And to me, I think what Courtney is doing is good in the grand scheme of things. Acknowledge that you don't like NC State. Acknowledge that this rivalry is a little spicy. And we understand what Wes Moore has been able to build over at NC State. It's kept things good. I mean, if you want competitive rivalries, if you want a little bit of the spiciness, if you want the acknowledgement, hey, it's there for you with NC State and North Carolina in women's basketball. Courtney Bangert decided to do a podcast, The Tar Heel Show, which is hosted by a guy who goes by The British Tar Heel. There's context there that I think is important, which we can get to in a moment. But Courtney went on this podcast and had this to say when she was asked about which team she dislikes more, Duke or NC State.
Do you enjoy beating more, NC State or Duke?
Oh, gosh. It's like, you're asking me who I hate less. It's like, I guess.
If you can say that, the question normally is, who do you hate more, NC State or Duke? But I didn't want to.
Instead, I just made it easy for you. Who do I hate less? That's like, who's your favorite child, right? I mean, it's like, I hate both of them more than probably I should, because I don't have the history that everybody else has. Duke is a national and international rivalry that I love. NC State fans are so classless. I just don't even like going there, right? So I don't know. It's a hard one. It's a hard one.
Both the same?
The same. Equally.
That's amazing.
I have more respect for Duke, but I like beating them because they're more relevant. NC State is just mean to each other, to us and each other.
To each other. Okay. That was Courtney Bangert, and that's North Carolina women's basketball coach with the British Tar Heel. Julia, you're shaking your head.
There are a lot of sports that you can claim NC State is irrelevant in.
Sure.
A lot of sports.
Sure.
Women's basketball is not one of them.
But that's taking what she's saying literally. She's committed to the bit, man. She has positioned herself as somebody who likes to poke NC State. And Wes Moore will happily take that bulletin board material, and as we saw last year, beat him. Cool. I'm okay with it. Honestly, that back and forth between NC State and North Carolina last year brought more people to the table for a women's basketball game, and I think that's key. I think that's important. I think that's good. But that's not my takeaway from that clip. rivalry, trash talk, whatever.
I'm also trying to figure out how Duke and Carolina is an international rivalry. They're 11 miles apart.
You're talking about Duke and Carolina, and everybody knows that rivalry internationally. That's what she's saying. She's not saying about like how, you know, it's not like, you know, two teams with an ocean apart. I don't think that you're taking it literally.
Oh. You mean the actual definition of words, like relevant and
sure.
International?
I got you.
You know, she went to an Ivy League school. I'm fairly certain she knows what the words mean.
Of course. And she knows what she's doing.
Okay.
But here was my takeaway. She regrets doing what she did on that podcast. We played the audio clip. It's the video that does it justice, all right? And Victoria, I know you've watched the clip because you've played the clip on the air. If you watch her... This is clearly somebody who has regrets going on this podcast and probably is thinking, psh, it's not like anybody's going to listen to this thing anyway, so whatever. I'm just going to say what I need to say and then keep it moving. That's my takeaway. Why am I on this podcast? Which gets us to our friend, the British Tar Heel, who we had on this show initially last season because I thought it was a cool story. I did not realize that I was part of the grift, Joe. I got duped by the grift, man.
You got?
I got, and I'm actually kind of upset at myself for getting got. I thought it was a cool story moving on. No, it was all part of his master plan to turn himself into a content guy. In fact, guys like British Tar Heel are what I find the most fascinating these days and the main character syndrome that has crept into the world of sports. It's one thing to be a fan, but now everybody wants to be Fireman Ed, the Jets guy, right? Everybody wants to be the cheerleader on social media now. And then they try to parlay
that dude.
Yes.
Bull, snort, huffy face.
Yep. Yeah. They want to be that guy. He's built different, Joe. Everybody wants to be that guy now. Everybody wants to be the social media super fan that leads the cheers and everything else. And it's kind of...
That's Bill Simmons syndrome, if it's anything.
Yeah, I guess so.
If you really want to get back to it.
And I mean, I'm just trying to be honest here. It's kind of lame. And I think for the most part with this kind of stuff, people figured out it's kind of lame too. Next up.
Number three.
I don't know about you, Joe, but I don't want my NBA stars openly talking about playing for other teams. Definitely not Giannis Antetokounmpo. He won our hearts by winning a championship and staying in Milwaukee. But now he's doing an interview in Chicago, Joe, where he says he was asked about the possibility of playing for the Bulls. And he said, I think anybody you ask that question that plays basketball, if he said no, he'd be a liar. It's a team that's won multiple championships. It's a team that one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player ever to play this game, played for. So it's a no-brainer. Everybody would love to play for Chicago. Now, if you're the Bulls, how are you not sending that to every free agent in the NBA? It's a no-brainer. Everybody would love to play for Chicago. Meanwhile, Antetokounmpo has 4 years left on a 5-year max extension deal with the Bucks. What are we doing, Giannis? A rare misstep from Giannis. I don't like this.
Isn't this kind of like when people talk about playing at Madison Square Garden? Everybody wants to play at Madison Square Garden, so people immediately associate that with saying, oh, he wants to be a Knick. No. He's not saying he wants to be a Knick.
The Bulls have literally only been good. In an 8-year period that Michael Jordan played for 6 of those 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, they were trash. Since then, they've been trash. So to act like, oh my gosh, I got to go play for the Bulls because they have this story and history. No. Not while you're playing for the Bucks either. It's in their division. I don't like that. I don't like it, Joe. Get it out of here.
Next up.
Number two.
To the NFL. The Carolina Panthers had their preseason opener against the Washington football team. I'm sorry, the Washington Commanders on Saturday. You will be proud of me, Joe. I told my family, I'm abandoning you. Football's on television. So leave me alone. I don't care what's going on. Family emergency? Not my problem. Because the Panthers are on TV, and I got to see who's got the inside track on the starting job.
What'd you come up with? What'd you figure out?
It's Baker Mayfield. it's just like that. It's Baker Mayfield. I think we've all understood it's Baker Mayfield. So the question is, why are the Carolina Panthers going about this in a way that is annoying? why do they keep trying to position it as a, well, they're going to get split reps. We still haven't made a decision yet. We'll have a better idea this week going into the Patriots. Heck, take Matt Rhule, head coach of the Carolina Panthers, when somebody asked him a question as to whether or not Baker is going to be the starter moving forward since he was the starter for the game.
No, that was for today.
Just for today.
So we'll go back and look at this tape. And obviously, Sam got us in the end zone. Baker led us down the field. So it looked like both guys, you know, played well in terms of production. We'll go back and look and see where they are. But that was just for today.
Just for today. Ultimately, what it comes down to is, does Baker Mayfield look comfortable enough in the offense that between now and week one, he'll be the starter? And I think we can all recognize, based on what one series, again, it's just a preseason, it's just one series, but I think we have a basic understanding that, yeah, dude looked pretty comfortable running that offense. It's actually something that Tim Hasselbeck addressed on ESPN's NFL Live, that Mayfield simply looking the part is a good indication as to where things are going.
I feel about it now the way I felt about it going into the game, which was, I do think Baker Mayfield has the inside track. And then I thought Baker Mayfield, from watching the game, thought he looked really comfortable, Linda, which is somewhat surprising when you consider that he only signed with the Panthers on July 12th. So he's been there basically a month. And to see the way he played on the couple of third downs that he had an opportunity to be in there for, I thought he did a nice job. And so probably was a pretty good building block and wouldn't change anything in my mind in terms of Baker having the inside track.
So that's Tim Hasselbeck talking about Baker Mayfield and the Carolina Panthers. So why is Matt Rhule continuing to talk about Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield in vague terms? This is the best I can come up with, Julio. There's injuries, right? We saw this with the Jets and Zach Wilson. And you could see another injury between now and the start of the regular season. And maybe their hope is, by keeping Sam Darnold engaged, by, hey, having a pretty decent series for Sam Darnold on Saturday where he threw a touchdown under stress into the back of the end zone. That was a good ball from Sam Darnold. That somebody would look at his contract, try to work something out with the Carolina Panthers to take some money off of the books to open something up for any number of needs and go from there. That's the best case scenario, that Sam Darnold looks like he's trade bait in the same way that Baker Mayfield ended up coming to the Carolina Panthers for an extreme discount. That's the best I can come up with keeping Sam Darnold engaged so far this preseason.
Yeah, I can't think of any other reason other than Matt Rhule thinks he's still at Temple or Baylor.
Yeah.
He thinks someone's going to enter the transfer portal. It's confusing. The same with Ike Ekwonu. You know, you take a guy with the sixth pick, and Darren Gant was on with us before, and you can listen to that full conversation on the Best of the OG podcast, but can we stop diddling around and acting like the number six pick is not going to be the starting left tackle?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't, you know, you didn't draft Patrick Mahomes and put him on ice for a year. You got someone to fix a problem, and credit to the Panthers for trying to fix that problem, but now is not the time to be like, oh, no, he's got to earn it. Okay, guys, just keep it moving, Matt.
Next up.
The number one story of the day.
We're number one.
AP preseason top 25 is out. Looks a lot similar to the coaches poll with the usual suspects at the top of the leaderboard. Alabama is your number one for the ninth time. Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, and Notre Dame round out the top five. And looky here, NC State shows up at number 13. That's where NC State showed up for the coaches poll, which was released last week. And like I said last week, NC State's ranked about where they should be ranked. Chilio, you're voting in the AP Top 25 right now while Lauren Brownlow is still on the men. So shout out to you for that. When you're filling out the yellow pad, where did you put NC State?
I have NC State at number 10.
Number 10?
I do.
Now, the explanation here is you have to fill out a Top 25.
You do, but I also have some questions about Baylor. Mm-hmm. I have some questions about Michigan. You got to remember, and Oregon is another one that the normal poll has in front of NC State. Those are all teams like Oregon. Their coach is gone. They have a new coach. They don't exactly, that's not a let's reload kind of team. Michigan, you got Jim Harbaugh's out there trying to get the Vikings job. He was itching to be Kirk Cousins' quarterback coach. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Hey, that's number 99 on the NFL top 100 player list. Kirk Cousins, and okay, then, number 99.
And then Baylor, I think Dave Aranda's done an amazing job there. But I also think they lost a lot of lumber in the NFL draft. It's going to be difficult for them to reload. So I got NC State at number 10 ahead of those teams, and we'll see how it shakes out.
Dave Doran, NC State's head football coach, was mic'd up for ACC Network All Access. So we now know what the expectations are, right? They got a handful of first-place votes for the Atlantic Division at ACC kickoff. They're showing up at number 13, both in the coaches' poll and the AP poll, which to me is a signifier of that respect that Dave Doran's been screaming for the last three seasons, if you want to go back that far. So now it's a matter of, hey, look, people are noticing you. Now it's time to execute. Here's Doran on this all-ACC, all-access on the ACC network, addressing the team on that factor.
All right, man, the journey begins, huh? Now you sit in a room, all right, that's a top 10 program with a great opportunity. The media, who's loving you right now, it's the same people that will step all over us. So all the attaboys and the talk and the preseason hype, that stuff's not relevant now.
That's Dave Doran on the ACC Network. I didn't watch the full episode. I know you watched it. It looked good from the clips that I watched, and I think the general attitude that you're getting at NC State is one that's carried over since the Holiday Bowl fiasco. They got unfinished business. They know they're running it back for a reason. They know what their goals are, and they're trying to keep it as level-headed as possible. I think it starts with the coaching staff, but I also think it comes down to the players, too, who know the deal, starting with Devin Leary and others. I like it. I like NC State's mindset going into the season, and I feel like they did earn this place in the preseason polls and the expectations going forward.
As a veteran group, back for the third time, a third crack at it, if you will. And yeah, there are questions at receiver. There's some questions at running back for NC State, but I don't think there's any question that they have experience, and particularly they're talented on defense. I also don't think there's any question about their schedule. Yeah. They have a dream schedule this year. I mean, it is set up perfectly for them. And that's going to be, can you take advantage of that opportunity? For NC State, whether it's Phillip Rivers, whether it's Russell Wilson, whether it's Ryan Finley, you know, those were all veteran teams in 02, a veteran team in 2010, a veteran team in 2017 and 18. And they just weren't able to take advantage of those opportunities. And that's what's in front of NC State right now, is really, they haven't won the ACC since 1979.
Yeah.
And I'd argue this is the first time since then, because they were picked to win the league that year, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time since then you can sit here on the opening day of football and go, NC State has as good as any chance as any other team to win the ACC.
They do.
I don't think you've been able to say that at, other than maybe Rivers and two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you've been able to say that at any other time. And that's, I think, Dave Doran has kind of been hammering home to them, not only that opportunity, but what they believe was taken away from them last year.
You look at the usual suspects that are going to be in the running for the college football playoff. When we talk about the changeover, what they have to build off of, take Georgia, for instance, all the guys who went pro, or Alabama coming into their own after what Nick Saban described as a rebuilding year. We understand that Nick Saban rebuilding years are different than other program rebuilding years. They have a two-year cycle. Most schools have a 4-5 year cycle. NC State is included in that. So let's strip out those top three teams or the top five teams and what the expectations are for that. When you look at NC State, cold, objective ways, they got a lot of things going for them. So it really comes down to two things for me at NC State this upcoming season. One is health, right? We've seen what happens when NC State's defense has been decimated by injury. It's the outlier in the last 5 to 6 years under Dave Doran at NC State, by the way. That defense is good enough in a league stacked with great quarterbacks to be the difference maker. I think we can all agree there. So health on the defensive side, to me, is job number one, or issue number one. Issue number two, if it's an issue, it's that you've got the quarterback figured out with Devin Leary. He's had a long journey to get to this place, but here he is, and there's some expectations for him. They've got a Heisman campaign and everything else. NC State's got a good problem to have. You got the QB, but what about the wideouts? Right, that can develop over time. You got the QB, but what about your running backs? Well, that can develop over time. We saw this at North Carolina last year when they had to replace some key skill position players. The plot twist for Carolina last year, though, was the offensive line. Nobody expected the offensive line to be as porous as it was last season. I don't think NC State's going to have that problem with Devin Leary this upcoming year. So it's just a matter of guys stepping up to replace guys like Amezi. So NC State's got a lot of things going for them and why they're in that position, because not a lot of schools are in the same boat as the Wolfpack. They got some questions, but their questions are manageable.
Well, their roster looks a lot like Pitt's did last year.
Yep.
It looks a lot like Wake Forest did last year. You know, the extra year of COVID eligibility has helped some of these programs that aren't blue bloods, because they've been able to hang on to players longer. And those schools in particular, the transfer portal wasn't that big of an issue either. So you have programs who have stayed together, have experience together, and really can set their sights on a goal. And, you know, and Pitt, Wake Forest, by the way, can have those same goals this year.